Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Yes, I'm still insisting that we're in that season of Easter. Before we get kicking off with our worship this morning, I do just have a couple of quick notices. The first is to say that the midweek communion, which used to be on Thursdays and then has recently been tried out on Tuesdays, is being adjusted once again because Tuesdays is not really working for people. So we're going to move it to being on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock every other week. So this coming week, there will be the last one happening on Tuesday here at 10 o'clock. And then the following one, in a fortnight's time, I believe that's the 16th, will be on Wednesday at 12 noon. And we'll be following that pattern because several people have said they would like to be coming along, but it doesn't work with other things that are going on Tuesday mornings. So that's the first notice. You're all very welcome to come along to that. It'd be lovely to have all of you at 12 noon, but I know that that's not always possible. The other thing is to say that while we're here as a church in our community, there's a series of values that I think are really helpful for us to bear in mind. And it's a simple principle that comes down to a phrase called value for value. You identify what's going on and you say to yourself, I value this thing this much. And you put your own number on it and you say, this is what I'm prepared to give. This has different layers and levels. On the one hand, it's a very personal thing between you and God. On the other hand, it works as a community as we come together and we say, this matters to us, let's do it together. But it also has a relationship not just to what's happening inside this church, but what we do in terms of being present with the rest of the community. How much do we say to those around us, I value you, therefore I will give you some of my time? The way that we often delineate value is in different ways. We have time, the time that you're able to give to people, you're able to spend with people. You have your talents. You might feel like I'm not very good or I'm not able to make it to that, but I can do something that would be helpful in preparing for it. Or I have a gift or something that I can do that would be of value. Or there's always the last one which people get fixated on, which is treasure, your money. Now, this is not a pitch to say, please give us your money, though please do give us your money. This is a pitch to say that in a couple of weeks' time, on the 11th of May, we're going to be having a spring clean here in church. If you value what we offer here, if you value what we're gathering together to do, to worship God, but also to create a space to welcome other people in, whether it be schools or like we have after this service, a baptism family, or later in the summer we've got weddings and things happening. If you would like to support us by coming along on the 11th of May and helping us with a spring clean, that would be a tremendous way of supporting not just us as a community and church, but also for welcoming others in. If you'd like to sign up to that and you would like to know from David Winder particular details and tools and things that would be useful, please do speak to him. He would be delighted to have as many volunteers as possible. As they say, many hands make light work. Thank you. We are here remembering that Christ is no longer in the grave, but has risen and is our Lord and Saviour. This should fill our hearts with joy and amazement. So let us sing our first hymn, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of the Nazarene. We are gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Would you please be seated? Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated as we hear our scripture readings.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Go south to the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is John's first letter to the church, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reflecting on that theme of loving one another, let us stand and sing our next song, number 1604, "When I Needed a Neighbor."
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? I think that sometimes there can be a temptation when we come to metaphors like the branches and the vine to overly limit it, to make it static. How many of us have seen pictures of this sort of vine with fruits on it, perhaps in the edge of our Bibles or in church artwork, and you see a plant and there's some fruit on one side and there's not much on the other side. You think, yes, that's a nice picture about a nice Bible verse. But this is a metaphor which is all about movement and living and growing and chopping. It's a metaphor filled with action. If we limit it and hold it in one place and freeze it like a photograph or a painting, we're never really going to engage with what's happening. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Now, what do you imagine when you imagine that scene? Do we just have that potted plant that we've seen pictures of? Or do we think of hillsides covered in vineyards, with the vine spreading all the way along, workers heading down each row, plucking off a fruit, putting it in baskets, taking it away, ready to make the best of wines? Is that what we think about? What is it when we talk about bearing fruit? We often think, oh yes, it's good to have fruit, but we don't tend to think about what fruit is for. Perhaps we might skip to Paul's letters and hear that the fruits of the Spirit are kindness, patience, all those other good virtues. But when we have fruit on a tree, what is its purpose? It is there for us to take it and eat. And that which is not eaten falls into the ground, is eaten and taken by animals, and the seeds end up in a new place, with the potential for new life to grow and a new plant to be formed that in turn brings about yet more fruit. So what does it mean to be people who bear fruit? Fruit is to be eaten and consumed. If we have fruit, then when we are with one another, people by being in our presence, in our conversation, in the time we share, consume parts of us. They imbibe our character. They understand and take on our wisdom, they share our stories, and they leave us feeling nourished and supported for the friendship that we have given them, the time that we have shared, and the practicalities that we might have helped with. If we are not producing fruit, perhaps we are sitting around impatiently watching the clock for that moment when you can politely leave them to it. Perhaps we find them so frustrating that we're not going to actually make eye contact. We'll just hope that they don't stop us and draw us into conversation. Perhaps when they ask for advice, we will tell them, oh, well, in my situation, I had a story that was like this, and end up making it all about ourselves without actually applying it to them. When we are thinking about ourselves as being people of fruit, who are, in a sense, consumed by one another when we spend time together, are we being nourishing and healthy, or are we being detrimental? And there's another question within this, because practicalities and friendship are well and good. But the true fruit that Jesus is talking about is sharing the gospel. When we spend time with people, do we let them know about our faith and share our belief that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he has forgiven our sins, that he gives us hope of eternal life? Or do we just let it not be an awkward conversation? Avoid religion and politics, as they always say. Do we just leave it be? The thing with fruit and branches is that you prune a branch that is producing much fruit in order that it can produce more. You prune a branch which is producing no fruit in the hopes that it might produce fruit. The pruning, therefore, is not optional. What does pruning look like in our lives? Well, pruning, I would suggest, is the difficulties and adversities that we all encounter. We all go through moments of challenge, and it is through those moments that we grow. Don't know about you, but I find in good times when I have no worries, that is when I grow the least. In difficult times where I have to engage and wrestle and struggle, I learn more about who I am, and I unlock the next elements of my character, and I nearly always discover more about God. One of my challenges I have grown up with is that my brother and I both have the genetics that cause us to be born with moderate hearing loss. Some of you, through age, may catch up to our situation with hearing aids and so forth, but it's a different thing when you start off young, and you get to that point of realizing that I will never hear someone's voice as it properly sounds, but only as it's mediated through my hearing aids. What is reality around me? What existential crises do you want me to unveil and respond to? Because I've had them, I promise you. The amount of times I've been excluded from conversations because I've said pardon twice, and on the third time of repeating it, people say, oh, don't worry. So it was important the first time you said it, but I missed it. What was it? There's been moments where actually it's been dangerous. You don't hear a car coming or something that's going on around you. It's something that I and my brother have had to grow up and learn and get used to the point where most people, indeed many of you perhaps, don't even realize that we're deaf. It's not something that I share as a brag. It's an example from my own life that I have had to wrestle with. And I have many more such examples. We each, in our own way, have our own examples of struggles. But with each of our struggles, there is a temptation that comes with it to say that someone else's struggles are worse and harder. We can all imagine that we could well be someone living in a war-torn place where there is no access to clean water and we've got a disease. Perhaps we've lost a limb or two and things seem dire and desperate. We obviously have compassion on all those who are in those difficult circumstances. But their suffering and their enormity of their situation over there does not impact the reality of your lived experience of life. And that sometimes the things that you are struggling with, whether it be financial, whether it be legal, whether it be age and health, whether it be mental health, whatever your difficulties and your struggles are, they are difficulties and struggles. They are prunings, opportunities for us to engage with God, to see the truth of these words, of if we abide in him, he abides in us. These are perhaps some of the most precious words we have that describe our relationship with Jesus. Abide in him and he in us. He does not let us be pruned and suffer difficulties because it's a test or an exam. He's not sitting there with a clipboard going, well, he was a bit grumpy about that difficulty today. I'm not very pleased with that. No, he's not on the side. He is abiding within us, within the context of our struggles and difficulties. For through them we learn, and through them we grow, and through them we are able often to connect with others who are also struggling and suffering like we are. And because we're abiding in God, those who are struggling on their own without God, when they eat the fruit of our lives, they eat a glimpse and a taste of the presence of God for themselves. And that fruit is beautiful and attractive and juicy and succulent. We should want to share it with others. There is no shame in struggling, but struggle with God. And let us struggle together as those who are found within God. When we think about these words, abide in me and I in you, we think of the branches and the vines. At what point does a vine become a branch? At what point does a branch become the vine? We can see points where it angles off and has distinction. We can count leaves and see fruit. But it's not like, taking a metaphor from the Old Testament, it's not like we have a statue made of metal onto which we have grafted and fashioned limbs made out of clay. We don't have two substances coming together that are separate. But rather, the wood of the vine is the wood of the branch, and they are completely entwined together. So God abides in us, and we abide in him in love. What does it mean not to abide? To not abide is to separate ourselves off from the root of life, from the living waters, which is Jesus Christ. If we try and do everything in our own strength, all we can do is wither up and fade away. But if we lean on that strength, that life-giving spirit which comes through the vine into the branches so naturally, because God is so close to us, he is with us even when we don't feel like he is, when we lean in him in that moment, we will flourish and have fruit. Fruit is, as I say, for eating, and that is a good thing to do. But the fruit which is not eaten falls into the ground, much as Christ was buried in the tomb. And that fruit which is in the ground and that body which lay in the tomb is not the end of the story. For seeds grow and new life arises, and in the resurrection of Jesus we have this hope of eternal life. We all one day shall share in his death, in the hope that we shall pass through it into his eternal life, because we abide in him and he abides in us. But it's worth thinking about the death of us as fruit, because each of us will have a funeral. And at that funeral, people will be reflecting on who we were and what we have meant to them. Will they think of us as people of love, people of faith, people who have known and abided with God? Or will they think of us as people who didn't really engage much? Were we distant from people? Did we avoid them? Did they know that we had a faith? And the beautiful thing about a funeral, and I have seen it happen many times, is that when people come to a funeral and the gospel is present, they reflect on their own lives, and they think about the lives of the one whom they have come to remember and honour. And often it is an impetus to them to grow in their own faith. And so we have a life where our fruit can be eaten by others, nourishing them and supporting them and drawing them into the presence of God. But we also have one last gift that we can give. We can die, and in our death be remembered as Christians, those who do not remain dead, but like our Lord, will rise again one day to abide in the presence and the glory of God forever. Abide in me and I shall abide in you, is what God says. And it is quite right that in a moment we will come to the table where we will have the bread and the wine, symbols of that first fruit of the new creation. As we eat these gifts, let us take them into our bodies, as we draw in the Spirit of God into our hearts. And as you come, I encourage you to pray, Lord, abide in me, that I may abide in you. Let him be with you in all that is going on, for in him is life and life to the full. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I shall abide in you. Amen.
Let us pray. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Lord, we praise you for all that you are, and all that you have done for us out of your infinite love. You are our Saviour, and your hard-won victory over death has rescued us to live in the promise of everlasting light and joy. You are the vine that sustains and nourishes us if we remain connected to you. Strengthen our faith so that we, in turn, can bear fruit in glorifying you and sharing the love which comes from you living within us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the rich diversity of our minds and wills as you have created, enabling us to be free to find our own way of worshipping you. Teach us to keep an open mind to others' ideas and ways of serving you. Help us to be prepared to learn from them, and also to be prepared to share our own works and experiences as we try to follow in your footsteps. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world and its peoples. We struggle to understand the reasons behind the many inhumane acts of violence that have occurred over recent months. And yet we know that in the midst of such events, your love is shown in acts of bravery, selflessness, and compassion. We pray for all who work for peace and unity, and for all those in positions of power that they will seek equitable solutions to bring an end to the suffering of so many in their charge. We bring before you all those who live in perpetual fear, that you will draw near to them and that they will be comforted by you, the Prince of Peace. Help us to be as generous and caring in our encounters. You have given us a world where there is plenty for all, but so many are trapped in poverty and need. Let us never forget that all we have is the gift of your hand alone, and that our duty to share in prosperity becomes ever greater. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community and ask that you will guide us to do what we can to connect this fellowship to our friends and neighbours. We bring before you Harlow Fox, his parents, godparents, family and friends, on the occasion of the baptism here later. We also ask for your blessing upon our ministry team, Samuel, Graham, David, Mary and Linnea, and also upon our newly reappointed PCC. Give them energy and guidance as they lead us and make decisions on our behalf. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask that you will be with all who are suffering or in need of comfort at this time. From our notice sheet, we bring before you Amanda Ricketts, Caden Edwards, Peter and Eve Nelson, Joyce Beacock, Christine Nisbet, and Evie, together with their loved ones,
And in a short moment of silence, we name before you any others on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lastly, we hold out those loved ones who have died in recent days or whose anniversary falls at this time. We thank you for their lives among us. Shield those of us who are left from the pain of grief, and by your grace may we continue along our own earthly pilgrimage, safe in the comfort of your love and in the sure knowledge of your promise of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give grace to us, our families and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve you in one another and love as you love us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us stand and together confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Abide in me as I abide in you. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 377, Love Divine or Love Success.
Thank you.
Father, you are the vine grower. We thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and ask that you will be with us by your Holy Spirit as we make this memorial of your Son's death and resurrection. Amen. Our service continues on page 7. Would you please be seated? The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit he took flesh, as your Son born of a blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He spread wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, that these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Eternal God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life, grant us to walk in his way and to rejoice in his truth and to share his risen life, who is alive and reigns now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we have heard from the scriptures and tasted within ourselves the pledges of God's love in the bread and the wine. But symbols are much richer and more creative than can ever be exhausted. And I wonder if Tiger Club have some symbolism they would like to share with us now. What do we have here? Does anyone want to volunteer? Hey, yeah?
With grapes, God would prune, and the parts without it, he would cut off.
Ah, so are you guys able to hold this up?
Yeah.
Can you spread all the way down? Oh no, it's been pruned more quickly than they anticipated.
Hold it together, hold it together, up. Can you hold it together, there.
Yep. You know, it's almost like we planned this, but I began by saying, isn't it a shame that when we have metaphors that we limit them to small clip art-like pictures? And instead we've got this wonderful image of the vine heading throughout the whole of our church. If this is the vine coming down the middle, and each of these pews are the branches, what a wonderful metaphor for us as the church with Jesus Christ as the true vine. I think that this is a wonderful piece of symbolism that you've all done. And while you hold it, let us all pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the grower of the true vine. Help us to engage with all that that means, the symbolism and the richness of the pictures and the metaphors that you give us. We thank you for Tiger Club and for their enthusiasm and joy in sharing us this biblical image in a way that we haven't quite seen it before. Encourage us by your Spirit, and may we be people filled with fruit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is ultimately all about Jesus. So I want to say a very big thank you to Tiger Club for what they've done. Give them a round of applause. But remembering that it's all about Jesus, let us stand and sing with joy and enthusiasm our last hymn, In Christ Alone.
Thank you.
For take these gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. I'm going to restrain myself and not give you a whole other sermon. But these words, abide in me and I will abide in you, are so cool. Please do reflect on them in the week ahead. And if you wish to talk and ask more, discuss more, well, I'm just giving you a sneak preview. Later in the summer, there will be the opportunity for us to do exactly that. For now, we end with a blessing. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide in you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.